Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record, program number 484, another interview with Daniel Hopsicker. This has been recorded on November 7th of the year 2004. Once again, it's my pleasure and privilege to present Daniel Hopsicker, the author of, among other titles, Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida. Daniel, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Nice to be with you, Dave.
We were talking about one of the two magic Dutch boys who'd helped to train Mohammed Atta and the September 11th hijackers, one of the people who was part of this vast intelligence-slash-organized-crime transnational network. That's Arnie Krutoff. And I'd like to resume the discussion with his business partner, Glenn Goodman. And if you could fill us in a little bit about Glenn Goodman, again, for the purposes of new listeners, Arnie Krutoff's business partner, Krutoff, one of the people who trained the hijackers. Tell us about Glenn Goodman. Give us a picture of, the milieu in which Arnie Krutoff moved.
Well, the first thing to know about both Goodman and Krutoff is they almost died very near the time Rudy Dekkers almost died when their plane crashed at the Venice airport. They were on their way to Cancun, they said, although there's reason to be suspicious of that explanation. But it was only Glenn Goodman's extreme skill as a pilot that kept all three of them from kissing the tarmac, which might have been convenient in some ways, because at the same time, Rudy Dekkers was having trouble staying aloft.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting thing about so I asked somebody, who is this guy? Is he regular? Is he eccentric? And I found out that he has a gold mine in the Caribbean, owns a sailboat, lives on, that he sometimes lives on, and looks like Howard Hughes with a ponytail. And is the son of the Budweiser distributor in Tampa. And the most interesting thing about him was that we also heard reportedly the DEA, which was surprisingly active at the tiny Venice airport, filming every car that drove in and out of the airport, we were told, had asked a local confidential informant to follow Glenn Goodman around, Arnie Krutoff's partner, Glenn Goodman.
And this is the DEA?
Right.
Okay.
So, and the guy they asked to tail Goodman is a guy who has his own colorful history, we found out. He sets people up in Fort Lauderdale and for drug busts and was given some of their toys, he said. He said an airport insider, he rolled on the Whittingtons. The Whittington brothers were the most famous drug smugglers in Miami in the 80s, and when they went down, Barry Seal bought their Learjet. So it all comes around, to a very small number of people. An embarrassingly small number of people.
Well, one of the points I'll make in passing here is that when you read, which hopefully listeners will do, Welcome to Terrorland, you'll see many of these names, such as the Whittingtons, cropping up at several different junctures in connection with, again, the milieu of the September 11th hijackers, and so many of these tributaries run in the direction of the Iran-Contra networks that are so familiar to veteran listeners. More about Glenn Goodman.
That about says it.
All right,
what else do you need to know? He traffics in DC-3s that used to fly for Manuel Noriega, and looks like Howard Hughes with the ponytail.
Yep, and again, a very interesting person for Arnie Krutoff to be in business
with.
Well,
exactly. So what kind of an operation was going on there? Because it's hard to believe that Glenn Goodman was interested in teaching the public at large about aviation safety.
No, well, aviation safety was not something that appeared to be a high priority here. One of the things we touched on last week was that Rudy Dekkers, among others, basically kissed off every conceivable FAA regulation, and that a lot of the things that he was doing were not only illegal but very dangerous for the public.
And he operated with impunity, like Mohammed Atta did. When he stalled an aircraft on the runway at Miami International and walked away from the plane.
And nobody did nothing.
Nobody did nothing.
You know, there's a nice pun leading to our next topic here. Discover Air. Perhaps if somebody discovered that airplane on the runway, we might have been able to avoid September 11th, but then who knows. Discover Air was one of the phantom airlines of Wally Hilliard, the fellow who's bidding, I guess you could say, Rudy Dekkers, the trainer of Atta, or quote trainer, unquote, of Atta, seemed to be doing. Discover Air. Tell us about what you discovered about Discover Air of Wally Hilliard.
It's the same story over and over again. It's just another dummy front company through which activity is run until they bust it out and it goes bankrupt.
And as you point out in your book, Discover Air, ostensibly an airline, really didn't book any flights at all, but it did garner one celebrity endorsement. Tell us about that.
Actually, that was for Florida Air. See, it's hard to keep track of them, and that's the point, okay? Here's an anecdote that explains it. When Richard Helms took over the CIA in the early 70s, he reportedly asked an assistant to bring him an accurate accounting of the CIA's aviation assets.
Mm-hmm.
And several weeks later, this assistant came back and said there was no way of really telling for sure because they had been concealed so well through so many years. So you find companies running under, you know, XYZ on Monday, under ABZ on Wednesday, and they just keep changing and churning, and they're harder to spot.
Mm-hmm. And Florida Air, one of the other weird phantom air aviation companies of Hilliard, by the way, ostensibly an airline that he launched with Rudy Deckers and another shady fellow named Richard Bolke, whom we spoke about last week. Tell us about the endorsement for Florida Air.
From Catherine Harris. See, once again, if you're going to run covert activities through a state like Florida, you need several key positions. For instance, sheriff of Sarasota County would be someone you'd want on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Harris is from Sarasota County as well. That's just the way you have to, that's what you need to do business.
Right. And Catherine Harris had endorsed the Phantom
Florida
Air.
And at the time, Rudy Deckers wasn't paying his rent at the airport. Now, do you ever imagine Catherine Harris endorsing or going out with a guy that was late on his bills?
No.
Does she seem like that kind of girl to you?
No. Catherine Harris seems to me like a brownie in training.
So you imagine there was some other agenda in play there.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Of course, Catherine Harris, as Secretary of State for the state of Florida, she's now in Congress, presided over the creative, shall we say, vote tallying in the year 2000. Daniel, you write on page 328 here of Discover Air, another of these phantom companies. Hilliard's latest ill-starred aviation enterprise also offered commuter service under the name Discover Air. After not one ticket was sold on its inaugural route, it went almost immediately out of business. Notwithstanding this uniquely dismal record, for reasons unknown, Florida political luminary Governor Jeb Bush stepped forward to tour its facilities and praise its completely unpraiseworthy management. So it did get at least one heavyweight person on board, if nothing and nobody else. With regard to Jeb Bush,
The important thing there is that Discover Air was owned by Wally Hilliard.
Right.
And at the time that Jeb Bush endorsed Wally Hilliard's Discover Air, Hilliard's Learjet had already been confiscated with 43 pounds of heroin on board.
Mm-hmm.
How do politicians get next to guys? I mean, it happens, you know, all the time. But you know, you would think they'd be a little more discreet.
Jeb Bush actually has a long, long history of involvement with the entire anti-Castro Cuban milieu, and many of those people ultimately morphed into many of the Iran-Contra players. Speaking of Jeb Bush, what happened to the files of Huffman Aviation? This was Rudy Decker's school at which Mo'atta and others appear to have come through.
Well, that's like the first thing I found out when I got here. I've been coming to Venice, Florida, because my parents have a retirement home here for 25 years. So that's why I came here to begin with. I knew there was something hinky in an explanation, you know, that had 30-year-old men in the last year of their life willingly coming to this leisure world, you know, type place. The first day I got to Venice, I got pulled over by the local cops twice, and I don't think I'd ever seen a police officer in the 25 years I've been coming down here. So I suggested to the second officer that it might be a good idea if I stopped by the police station and paid my respects to the chief, and you know they allowed that might be all right. So I'm glad I went in. I went, you know, I'm a visiting journalist here, and the guy I spoke with, rather than the chief that time, was the PI guy, public information guy. And I said, I just got one burning question here. What's Rudy Decker's rap sheet look like? What kind of priors does he have? And this cop looked really pained. I mean, pained. And he said he would love to be able to tell me about Rudy Decker's record, but he couldn't because all of their records had been confiscated by the FBI,
mm-hmm.
not copied, but confiscated by the FBI. This is the Venice police force now. Of course, they also took all of the records of Huffman Aviation, but this is the Venice police force. And the officer pointed out the window of the police station, the rear parking lot, and he said, right back there, they loaded up two Ryder trucks, which then drove out to the Sarasota airport, where they drove right onto a C-130 transport that took off and flew to Washington, D.C. with Jeb Bush aboard.
Interesting. Interesting. And this was right after September 11th.
Absolutely right after.
The point being,
the point being, they were confiscating evidence.
Sure. And for veteran listeners, these are the networks that we've looked at so many times in connection with the Iran-Contra affair. For newer listeners, get the book and read about this, and you'll see how what is old is new again, so to speak. Daniel, I'd like to read another passage from... Welcome to Terrorland as sort of an introduction to another topic that we've touched on, but that I'd like to review it or cover at greater length. Speaking about Richard Boelke, a partner with Rudy Deckers and Wally Hilliard in the abortive Florida Air, whose only personage seems to have been Catherine Harris, who endorsed this phantom airline. On page 233, you write, "Who had Rudy Deckers and company been working for? We didn't know anyone you could just walk up to and ask. Maybe we got a clue from Mike Pickett, the aviation executive who had watched Rick Boelke with the same amazement with which aviation professionals in Florida watched Deckers. Quote, when Boelke came in, he was just a restaurateur at the Gig Harbor Airport, he said. Again quoting, then he became the general manager for a German named Fokker, a German industrialist buying up all the land in that area. More Germans. Jessica Daly, an attractive airline professional in her late 20s, worked for Rick Boelke at Harbor Air and later transferred and worked for Rudy Deckers at Florida Air. While Harbor Air was going under, Boelke told Jessica to fly down to Florida and see Rudy. Quote, when I walked into his, Rudy's office, he was yelling and screaming at people, she recalled. Again quoting, he said, people call me a bastard Nazi because I'm loud and I'm German and I'm very demanding, unquote. Deckers told her he was German and not Dutch, Jessica said. Whether he was originally German or Dutch, what this brings to mind is one of the other very striking aspects of your investigation, Daniel, is that even though you're in Florida, you're investigating Arabs, people who were able to work with impunity at protected flight schools, which appear to be dummy fronts for various kinds of activity, including intelligence-related and drug smuggling activity. And yet, even though you're in Florida, one of the groups of people you keep coming across are Germans. And Mohammed Atta appears to, in many ways, have traveled within a German national milieu down there in Florida. Who is Timothy Hupfeld, one of his associates? Fill us in a little bit about Timothy Hupfeld.
Well, seven of Atta's closest associates were German, and we got their names and learned why each had been in Florida, ostensibly. But I wasn't able to get too far into who they were. In fact, I got contacted by the German FBI, the BKA, whatever that agency is, and gave them their names, and so they know more about them than I do. They were we're looking at the sons, and in one case, the daughter of German industrialists, basically.
And these are
seven individuals. I've got the names of seven individuals that Otto hung out with and went to meetings with while he was in Florida.
And these were sons and daughters of prominent German industrialists.
So in several cases, that's what I was told.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Tell us a little bit about Timothy Hupfeld and the quote mentor. Was it Aviation Aspirations? Was that the name of that Munich company that he was running with Deckers?
No, that's now you're into Pascal Schreier.
Pascal Schreier, excuse me, that's the other German. Tell us about Timothy Hupfeld. And
Timothy is one of two brothers, Timothy and Peter, and Timothy Hupfeld. They're supposedly Austrian. I'd like to know more about him. I know he hung out with Atta and went to meetings with him, including a meeting in Key West one time in which people came in on a plane specifically to meet. So beyond that, what do you know about him?
Well, it sounds like we need to know considerably more about him, but I don't think we're necessarily going to see that on the people page of the San Jose Mercury News.
Don't imagine so.
I fused a synapse. I confused Timothy Hupfeld with Pascal Schreier. Tell us about Pascal Schreier and how he and his wife, Ms. Hamuda, intersect with, again, this same milieu with the Magic Dutch Boys, Mohammed Atta, and the people we've been talking about for the last several weeks.
Well, the mind just boggles, Pascal Schreier's still here. He's still doing business. He's married to a half-Tunisian, half-French woman named Sandra Hamouda, part of a very influential, apparently Lebanese clan, still active at the Charlotte County Airport in ways that one might find interesting, and active with people who are the military attachés of foreign countries, for example.
She took over. One thing we have not touched on was another
really?
One of these weird...
It all gets to be too much to talk about over the radio because it's such a cast of characters. Right, she was involved with another shady flight school, just like Rudy Decker's.
This was professional aviation. I guess a misnomer, if ever there was one. Tell us about, quote, professional, unquote, aviation.
Professional aviation was a tiny flight school at the Charlotte County Airport, which trained dozens and dozens of Tunisians to fly, and then went suddenly bankrupt just before September 11th, leaving dozens and dozens of students who then went to Huffman Aviation, some of whom were apprehended in the days following September 11th, and no one knows what the disposition of those cases are.
One of the things you point out is that apparently these students were ripped off for their upper plates, basically, and that nobody was brought to heel, despite the fact that they'd been screwed to the wall for their activities.
And one wonders if what we weren't seeing in that wasn't a rupturing of a pre-existing relationship between two intelligence agencies.
Interesting. And professional aviation, again, it's another one of these schools in this same area. And if some listeners are getting confused, bear in mind that this is a covert network. It's not something that's meant to be discernible to the light of day. This is a covert entity. And so if some of this seems a little confusing, it's meant to be confusing, and it's meant to confuse potential investigators. One of the details, I'm jumping here a little bit, but one of the details we didn't get to mention in our past interviews, Daniel, and that is that Atta and company were paying top dollar. They were paying huge amounts of money to, quote, train, unquote, at these schools.
Well, the only explanation the FBI ever gave the American people for why these Arabs came here to learn to fly as opposed to going someplace cheap like the Sudan was that flight school, flight training is cheaper in the U.S., which is totally bogus. I mean, because ADA and Marwan paid, according to calculations of the IRS that came out 6 months after they were dead, four times what a normal flight student in the U.S. would pay for the same training, as much as four times.
And bear in mind, as we spoke about last week, Rudy Decker still couldn't pay his bills on time.
That's a terrorist surcharge. Rudy Decker didn't have to pay his bills on time. I believe that's probably the crucial distinction there. He wasn't suffering, or Rick Bolke, neither one were suffering any loss of a personal lifestyle. But these are people who operate with, most times, apparent impunity. And I would have thought that after September 11th would have been one of the times when they couldn't. And damn it, they're still there. And I've, done what I could. I sat on this operation for two damn years and did what I could. But there they are, and they are still operating.
And
Rudy Decker's, I'm told, is even now learning to fly jets in Tennessee.
So basically, this operation is still taking place. Rudy Decker's is learning to fly jets in Tennessee.
Yes.
And you mentioned, I think last week, that there are some Germans working with him. And
yes.
And one fellow operating under the alias of Black, who's actually an Egyptian.
Did I mention that?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Indiscreet me. How indiscreet could I be? Thank God you're in California. And not only that, but Rudy Decker's, I have been told, by a credible witness, is being secreted illegally into the U.S. through the Bahamas, through this German network, currently entering and leaving the U.S. illegally without going through customs.
Jesus. So basically, disturbing in and of itself.
Can I tell you something that I haven't told you, and probably it's not in the book?
Go ahead.
I covered his arraignment when Decker's was arraigned on felony fraud charges.
Right.
I covered the arraignment for the Mad Cow Morning News. And afterwards, purely by happenstance, as I went to my car, I had to walk past him. He was sitting on a bus bench. And he got up as he saw me walking towards him and began waving his arms wildly, going, don't come near me, don't come near, And I'm just trying to walk to my car. And I said, you know, well, what do you mean? I'm not trying to talk to you. I don't need to talk to you. You know, well, who do you think you are? She's been telling me to just, you know, like, get away from you. You know, I'm not even walking near you. You know, who do you think you are? And as I walked past him, out of the side of his mouth, he said, "You'll find out."
Oh, good.
And I had to give it to him, man. It was a good line, you know, and it was delivered right out of the side of his mouth. "You'll find out. Who do you think you are?"
And obviously, whoever he is being protected by some extremely powerful people who, as we've indicated several times, were, quote, transnational, unquote. A couple of details here real quickly from your book, Daniel, about Pascal Schreier, whose wife, Ms. Hamuda, is running another one of those weird flight schools. You write on page 294 about Pascal Schreier, a German national living in Munich. Schreier and Krutoff had a co-venture called Aviation Aspirations. According to its literature, the company provided financial assistance and a, quote, mentor program, unquote. What do you make of this mentor program they were doing?
Well, that's part and parcel with what was going on the entire time. That's Ada went to Hamburg in 92 as part of a mentor program. Okay, it is a spook training activity takes place under cover of foreign student exchanges and the like.
And by way of tying this in with a couple of other things that we've spoken about, too, you write right over on page 295 of Pascal Schreier, again, involved with Krutoff and Aviation Aspirations. Pascal Schreier was also apparently involved with Wally and Rudy's failed aviation ventures. The true name of their flop airline, which flew as Florida Air, was Sunrise Airlines. And Pascal Schreier owned a company called Florida Sunrise with an address at the Venice airport. It was too close for coincidence. Yeah, there are an awful lot of things too close for coincidence in your tale, Daniel. And again, I can't stress strongly enough to people that they should get the book and read it. And if some of these things don't appear to be immediately accessible from an intellectual standpoint, it's because we're looking at a network that is underground, that is clandestine, that is not meant to be readily accessible. In fact, it's meant to foil regulators and investigators, and has been doing a pretty damn good job, I would say, from its record. One of the people, looking again, Daniel, I know we're kind of jumping around here, but looking at some of the deep political connections, one of the people who appears to have been in business with Wally Hilliard, somebody who crops up both in the Pacific Northwest and in Florida, where respectively Rick Bolke and Hilliard Deckers were holding forth, and that is Jackson Stevens. Tell us a little. We spoke about him a little last week. Tell us a little bit about Jackson Stevens.
Well, you know, anecdotally, Jackson Stevens' name has been bandied along with every national scandal in the U.S. since Watergate. He was involved reportedly in the Promise software scandal, perhaps in the Vince Foster death scandal, in the Iran-Contra scandal. He was Bill Clinton's biggest backer in 1992. But he had been George Herbert Walker Bush's biggest backer in 1998.
And also, by the way, helped to capitalize Harkin Energy, the little George's energy company, pulling strings from the Union Bank of Switzerland in the 1980s. Go ahead.
Well, he was just a busy boy, was Jackson Stevens. And what I discovered was, you would have never heard of the name Venice, Florida, if it hadn't been for Jackson Stevens. A block from the airport sits Venice's only imposing-looking building. It's a red brick-domed building that looks like The Firm from that Tom Cruise movie. I mean, it's an ostentatious piece of architecture, and it was built by Jackson Stevens to house the whole corporate headquarters of his Beverly Enterprises, the nursing home company that he owned and operated in the 70s and 80s.
And again, he's a partner with Wally Hilliard, and one of the deep political figures who cropped up in the background of this dizzying network that we've seen here. Daniel, we're running low on time here. Let's once again give some information about your website and some of the materials. Since we do have a few minutes to stretch out, why don't you Why don't you give us an author endorsement here? Obviously, I've been touting your book. I think it's one of the most important books written about September 11th, and I think anybody who wants to understand that event and what's come out of it must read that book. You have a lot of other materials as well. Tell us some about those, and with holiday season coming up, what would you recommend to the holiday shopper that wants to precipitate a heart attack or two under the Christmas tree or around the Hanukkah bush this year?
I suppose we're all going to have to get a little more smart about who we're dealing with. I mean, that's probably apparent. I wrote Burying the Voice. I did a 2-hour TV special called The Secret Heartbeat of America about allegations that the CIA was involved in cocaine trafficking in the 1980s that funded the Contras. And when I couldn't get it aired, I turned left. Wrote Burying the Voice, a book, and did 4 other documentaries, 2 on Barry Seal, and 1 on the Federal Reserve. And then, because when you get into this sort of subject matter, you make acquaintance of interesting people. The night of the election, of the 2000 election, I was in Austin, Texas, shooting a documentary on some people's wacky allegation that American elections might not be as open and honest as we all know them to be.
Well, that obviously, that didn't pan out. So what came next?
By
the way, of course, for people who may be listening casually, I'm being facetious here. But again, what would you recommend to people who are perusing your website?
We've got 5 DVDs, just to go and read the stories, and if you're interested, keep reading. I mean, I break stories regularly that if Seymour Hersh was writing about them, would be all over the wires. But I don't get that sort of exposure.
Well, also, you go a lot farther. With all due respect to Seymour Hersh, who's done some great work over the years, you go a whole lot farther than Seymour Hersh is able to do. Daniel, we are running low on time here.
Well, cool. And people know where my website is. I think your audience does. I mean,
sure.
if they're smart enough to follow you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think they probably know how to find madcowprod.com, and that's you've certainly surprised me by drilling down 2 or 3 levels deeper into this material than I thought anybody ever would.
Well, it's very important material, and it's got to be drilled into, so to speak. But I guess it's appropriate with a petroleum administration in power. Again, I would recommend the materials at www.madcowprod.com, the videos in particular, this vitally important book, Welcome to Terrorland, Muhammad Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida, and also a
series. Well, that's what I'm doing even as I'm speaking to you. We've just put out a new updated edition of the DVD of Muhammad Atta and the Venice Flying Circus, including a half an hour of my interview with Muhammad Atta's American girlfriend, Amanda Keller. And you can listen to her talk and draw your own conclusions about how credible she is and sit there, as I did, kind of slack-jawed in amazement at the things she has to say in a very matter-of-fact tone of voice.
And I would also recommend that for free you have on your website some very important articles about the 9/11 BS movement. If people wonder how come stuff like the material we've been talking about for the last several weeks has not generally filtered out, at least in part, it's because they have an awful lot of people. Some of the same elements that pulled off 9/11 have been involved with generating the 9/11 disinformation movement, all the hocus pocus, the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, cruise missile into the Pentagon, and anything else that'll obscure any hard investigative links. Daniel Hopsicker has characteristically pursued the disinformation people and traced out some of the connections, and including some very well-known alleged researchers in the September 11th field, and they turn out to be less than optimum. We've been speaking with Daniel Hopsicker, the author of, among other titles, Welcome to Terrorland, Muhammad Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida. Visit his website at www.madcowprod.com. Don't forget the Spitfire website, www.spitfirelist.com. This is side 2 of For the Record, program number 484. It's being recorded on November 7th, 2004. For Daniel Hopsicker, this is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.